let us pray. Gracious Lord Jesus, in the early hours of the morning on the day of your resurrection, you made known through the open tomb that you had fulfilled what had brought to completion the work of our salvation. But those who witnessed these things were not able to comprehend or understand the reality that met their eyes. Grant us your Spirit this day, that through the word which you have caused to be written and passed down to us in the Holy Scriptures, we may see with the eyes of faith the meaning and reality of these things, and know the true significance of the open tomb, having assurance that as you have risen, we also shall rise to live and dwell with you forever in your kingdom, where you even now live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. In our text, Mary had gone to the tomb before the other women. It was still dark as she approached. The early morning light had not yet broken over the horizon. When she arrived, she saw that the other women would soon see what happened that morning. The soldiers that had been posted were gone. The seal of Pontius Pilate on the great stone was broken. The stone itself was rolled away, and the tomb was empty. Now, her conclusion is pretty rational and logical. She runs and tells Peter and John what she thinks it all means. They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him, she says. The two of them run to the tomb, John outrunning Peter to get to the entrance, but something makes John stop. He looks in, he looks around. He sees the linen cloths lying there, but he remains outside. We don't know exactly what stopped him, but the presence of the grave cloths and the missing body didn't exactly match the idea that the soldiers took the body to another burial place. That would have been something hasty, and probably the grave cloths would have gone with the body. Peter finally catches up, runs right into the tomb to see the state of things, like Peter would. The linen cloths were where the body was laid. The handkerchief that had been around his head was placed by itself, set there deliberately and intentionally, not hastily or brutishly as the guards would do if they were in a hurry to move a corpse. Then John enters, takes a full survey, and we are told that he saw and believed, but we're not told what he believed. We're only told that he did not believe, or what he did not believe, based on seeing these things. He did not believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. The next verse, immediately following our reading, makes this abundantly clear. As yet, they did not know the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. But with a certain resignation, a feeling that everything was done, that there was no reason to remain banded together as the disciples of Jesus, they all begin to make preparations, planning their journeys back home to Galilee. But being a feast day, they couldn't leave immediately. The whole next week, in fact, is dedicated to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. On this day itself, the first day of the week, God had commanded no work could be done except to prepare food for yourself for the day. This probably accounts for the meeting again of the disciples in the upper room that night. But in their minds, at least, they began going home, back to their lives before Jesus, back to fishing boats, back to Zebedee and Galilee. They seemed to believe it was all over. How differently they would have looked upon the details of those first hours, that first Easter morning, if they actually knew the scriptures, if they understood and comprehended the totality of what God had declared through the ages about the coming salvation. See, what they missed because they didn't know the scriptures or understand its meaning, we see today. Even though Jesus had told them numerous times throughout his ministry that after 3 days he will rise again, when the events actually unfold, when they see it with their own eyes, they still couldn't lay hold of the truth. They couldn't make it real for themselves. They couldn't rejoice in those first few hours. For if they had understood, they would have exclaimed along with the church which proclaims today, Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. You sit in a privileged place. See how the Lord has provided for you something greater than he even provided for his beloved disciple John and the great rock Peter. Today, we have revealed and explained to us through the revelation of the Holy Spirit what the meaning and significance of these events really were. We know that Christ is risen. We stand on the opposite shore, along with the redeemed children of Israel, and we see that the threatening foe has been overthrown and cast down. Just as the horse and its rider were cast into the sea, so the devil and all that belongs to him have already been defeated. We are set free. We are released from the power and tyranny of sin, the terror and fear of death, the might and dominion of the devil. This is why St. Paul declares with such clarity what is the core and central teaching of the Christian faith: that Christ died for our sins, as the scriptures declared he must. He was buried in the tomb, and that he rose again from the dead on the third day, as the scriptures declared he must. For the grave could not keep the Lord of life. He knew no sin and could not be affected by the corruption of the grave, and so he must rise again. But God did not do this secretly. He did not hide his work. He declared it beforehand, and he proved it by many convincing proofs afterward, so that we would know and be certain for ourselves that Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Even though the Lord did not reveal himself immediately to Peter and John, he would do so. We're told by Paul that he was seen by Peter that morning. Peter's travel plans were cut short. He wouldn't return to Galilee, at least not immediately. Rather, Peter, being Peter, likely is the one who gathered the rest of the disciples together after his encounter so that they would be in the upper room when the two men returned from the road to Emmaus. And then our Lord would appear to the 12. And it would be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, the reports of the women that morning were true. Christ had risen from the dead. This wouldn't be all, though. Paul tells of over the 500 that Jesus appeared to at once, and then also James, likely the Lord's brother. And again, to all the apostles, finally, Jesus was seen alive by Paul himself when he was on the road to Damascus. What John and Peter didn't immediately believe at the tomb that day, they came to believe. And they came to spread far and wide the message so that you would believe it as well. The tomb was not burst open to allow Jesus to exit. The tomb was burst open in order that the witnesses would be let in to see for certain that that tomb was empty. That we have hope, assurance that our graves also will be empty. For the one who rose from the dead that day declared, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Therefore, the declaration made by the church around the world this day is not only a statement made about Christ Jesus, our Lord himself, who saved us and brought to us salvation. It's also a declaration about our own future. Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
And because he lives, you and I will be raised to life again. Our graves will be empty. Our Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand on the earth, and in our flesh we shall see God for ourselves. Our own eyes shall behold him. And we will then not need to rely on the testimony of the early apostles, the eyewitnesses to these events. We will not need to live by faith in the word that foretold these events and recorded their fulfillment. We will not need to cling to the promises of God any longer, for we will for ourselves see, just as Peter and James and John saw the risen Lord. These things are written, says the Apostle John, so that you may believe. So that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing you may have life in his name. So do not leave this moment as the Israelites left the shore of the Red Sea, to return to your regular life, to your complaints about God and his administration of the world. The world has not yet been restored. There does still remain evil and sorrow within it. But the world is passing away. The old things are wearing out. And as the children of Israel could look forward to entering the promised land, free from their slavery and bondage to Pharaoh, so also we look forward. We are merely waiting to enter that new kingdom which our risen Lord brings with him when he returns. So cast aside the old leaven. Put away your sin and all evil desires. Let them be drowned in the waters of your baptism and die as Pharaoh and his army were drowned in the Red Sea. For our Lord has triumphed over death and hell to rescue you. He has redeemed you with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm to bring you to himself even now. So purge all doubt and all disbelief from your mind. Lay hold of the witness, the declaration of those who were there and saw with their own eyes the fulfillment of these things, so that you would hear and know, so that by God's Spirit you would be given faith and able to partake of the goodness and mercy of our God. For Christ died for your sins, as the Scriptures foretold. He was buried and rose again on the third day, as the Scriptures foretold, and as the early eyewitnesses saw for themselves. And now he has revealed these things to you, so that you would lay hold of him, be rescued and saved, so that you would be given new life in his name. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Death entered the world by Adam, and by Christ Jesus comes life and resurrection of the dead, so that in Christ all will be made alive at the proper time. This is the proclamation that is the declaration of the Church of God. This is the meaning of Christianity, that because Christ lives, you also have life in his name. So on this holy day, hold the truth in your heart. Celebrate every day the glorious news brought to your ears this day. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the holy and blessed name of our risen Lord Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and keep your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.